I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 10.
Mark Twain once said that heaven goes by favor. If it went by merit, you'd be out and your dog would be in. He never met my dog. But he might have been thinking about Casper, the Great Pyrenees. Now, it's possible some of you have heard this. I think I may have even mentioned it, but I can't remember. Casper was a livestock dog in Georgia. And the family had some sheep. Some were quite little lambs, and the flock was attacked by 11 coyotes. This 90-pound fluffy white dog went into protect mode. Before the coyotes got off the land, three were dead. They found two more just off the property dead. Over time, while they were searching for their dog who was gone for 2 days, they found another that made it, three more. So they found eight dead coyotes. Apparently, three of them got away or far enough away that they haven't found them. When Casper came back after 2 days being hidden in the woods, he was very injured. So they took the dog to a vet and got kind of emergency treatment. They paid the kind of first initial bill, knowing that the prices would mount up, but they did it anyway. And the dog was moved from a traditional vet to a Lifeline clinic. I don't know anything about this. It's a place where they could do it better and for more cost effective, but still, $15,000 of veterinary bills. All of it was paid for by donations. As you can imagine, people heard the story and were like, that's awesome. I mean, the dog was tender with sheep and could take on 11 coyotes. That's a dog you want to keep alive. So that happened several months ago. The dog is home now. It's doing well. It's mostly an indoor dog with lots of belly rubs, according to the family. Well-earned and well-deserved. It's a picture of what it takes to be a shepherd. And in John 10, Jesus takes that image and he says, I'm a good shepherd. Not just I'm a good shepherd, I'm the good shepherd. That Jesus is a fierce defender of his sheep and will pay any cost to protect them. And he is tender with his sheep. Anything that is required, he gives. That's what we read about in John 10. And so I want us to pray that God would help us recognize and enjoy and trust our shepherd. As we prepare to hear from his word, let's pray that God would bless our time in it. Our great Father in heaven, you have communicated to us with some pretty profound metaphors. Jesus is a brother, a friend, a husband, the head, and he is the shepherd. So let us draw from this metaphor all that you intend to nourish our souls, to receive from Jesus this rich and beautiful salvation, that he himself would be our shepherd. And we would gladly be the sheep under his care. Father, grant to us faith to trust in him. Lead us toward your beloved shepherd who was raised from the dead on our behalf and now guards and cares for us in every way. Oh, Father, give us faith and give us insight through your word to see our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We'll read from John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them all out, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me. I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is God's word. It is completely true and utterly trustworthy. You may be seated. One of the first passages of scripture that we talked about with our children when they were very little, I'm filled with nostalgia just thinking of it, was Psalm 23. You know, it's famous, it's easy, it's poetic. "Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, we went through that with them, and we had one objection that was pretty regular from our children. Objection to this: "But we're not sheep." They don't like being called sheep. We're not sheep. Sheep is a metaphor in the Bible. And, you know, when you're quite little, metaphors are a little lost on you, but they're challenging for us at any age, aren't they? Sometimes. This is a metaphor in the Bible where God draws this likeness, this comparison between his people and sheep. Almost 70 times in the Bible, when sheep are mentioned, it's actually a metaphor referring to people. Now, 70, you might go, "Well, that's not that many." Well, keep in mind, there are only 66 books of the Bible, so it's pretty frequent that it's mentioned. Why sheep? Why is this such a popular metaphor in the scriptures? Well, think about sheep. Perhaps you've watched a little basketball this last couple of weeks, and you've seen the Blue Devils, the Wildcats, the Tigers and the Lions, and the Owls. You might have seen the Volunteers or the Crimson Tide, or, you know, we could go on, right? You see any the fighting sheep? We just don't think about sheep as particularly dangerous. They are largely defenseless. At least some animals can go fast. Sheep, they're wobbly. They're just not going to get away. And they're easily frightened. They're somewhat helpless. And a sheep, despite all this, will absolutely wander away from the safety of the flock and the shepherd. Just wander off, not realizing what's going on, completely just oblivious. And that is the image 70 times in the Bible that's used for us. We've already said it once. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We're like these sheep. We're actually quite defenseless against a real enemy. We're actually quite willing to wander from safety and into something that's dangerous, and we don't even realize it. This is a pretty good image. And the truth is, a sheep will, eventually learn to follow a shepherd. Now, I'm going to talk a little more about that when we get into the passage. But a sheep will learn to follow a shepherd. And the truth is, that's by nature who you are. There's some principle, something that gives you guidance. That's my orienting point, my North Star. That's what I'm going to use to navigate life. You've got something that's doing that. Everybody does. Person who says, I am a self-made man, has set his goal as just raw independence. That idea of pursuing, preserving, building, and saying, I'm self-made, has been the guiding principle. It's a shepherd that he follows. And we can find that all over the place, right? We can follow, I want to be recognized. I think about somebody who says, I just want to be famous, well-known and recognized by people. Now, most of us can't become famous, but most of us can be recognized, at least in our circles. Let me just be a big fish in whatever pond I can find myself. I just want to be honored and acknowledged. That becomes a guiding principle, a shepherd that leads us. And you know, achievements, successes, whatever. And Jesus in this passage says, I'm the good shepherd. Those are ants. Those are predators. They're not good shepherds. So I want you to ask this question. Is your shepherd, is your real functioning shepherd good? Let's look at this passage. What is about good shepherd? What's he like? Well, he knows his sheep. Now, you might hear that and go, well, okay, this is Jesus. He knows everything. Of course he knows his sheep. But this little truth that you probably taught your children or learned as a child and have sort of acknowledged if you've grown up in the church at all, this is true, has something that's deeply profound attached to it. Think about how you interact with most people in your life. You let them know something about you. And the closer this person is, the more you let them know, probably. The more you trust them, the more you let them know. But even when it's someone so close to you that they share your address and your last name, there's still stuff that you go, I don't want them to know this. I want to keep that part hidden. In fact, I don't even like thinking about it myself. There's just stuff that I go, I want to be known, but I don't know that it's safe for you to know everything. This is just how we operate. There are precious things that are close to our heart. If you disagree with me about, you know, whether Billy Joel was a good musician or not, you can be wrong, but we can still be friends. But there are things that are so close to me, so much a part of my personhood, that if we're not on the same page, that I feel threatened. There are shameful things about me that I fear being exposed. There are sensitive areas of my life that have just felt the wounds of the world, the sins done against me or the sins that I've done that have left me raw. And if you don't handle that with care, then it hurts too much. And so it's probably better just to keep it hidden. We just play it safe. In fact, I'll even shade the truth a little bit so that it's a tad more attractive, a little more acceptable. And the ultimate effect is that we'll tend to feel a little bit loved, but we know it's fragile because there's always the chance that that thing that I've been keeping hidden that you don't know about will come out and then I'll lose it. To be loved but not really known is fragile, and as Tim Keller calls it in the quote that's on the front of the worship guide, it's superficial. But to be really known, to be deeply known, for those things to come out and then to be rejected, that's intolerable. It's a pain that can't be borne. It will disable someone. This is why you will find people who are wounded by relationships, wounded by, even in the church, people who just were too sinful, didn't handle something with care. And you got people who are like, I kind of like Jesus, but I just can't trust the church at all. I got known there, and then I got rejected, and it has undone me. You know, you've probably heard the stories. You've probably, in many cases, lived that story. It is devastating. But what if you were really, truly, deeply known down to those deepest parts in the heart, the most shameful things, the most sensitive things, by one who says, I love you and I will not go anywhere. I know you by name. Come with me. I know what you're going through. I know what you've done. I know what your struggle is. I know your failure from this morning that you haven't mentioned to anybody yet. And yet I still say, just come with me. I want you around. Do you hear that's what Jesus is saying here? This is so simple, but it is so important. Jesus knows what he is getting into when he says, come follow me. When he says to you, all right, I need to be, in English, you can be y'all or it can be you. I'm not using y'all here. He knows each of his sheep by name. He says, you come with me. I know you, and I'm still saying, come with me. Can you begin to let that get in your soul? He knows your particular temptation. He knows your past. He knows your future. He knows your future mistakes. That somebody will finally get tired of me, but I know he won't, because he knows what he's getting into as my shepherd. You ever looked at your life and said, why am I still doing this? Why am I still messing this up? Why am I not getting better faster? Do you know that Jesus never, ever says that about you? He already knows. And he is willing to say, come with me. Every other shepherd will drop you when you fail them. Every other shepherd. If you want to pursue business success, that's your guiding principle. What happens when you fail? They'll look for someone else. Every other shepherd will drop you. Jesus says, I knew what I was getting into. I knew you would be here at this point in your life today, and I am here. Listen to my voice. You come with me. And then he takes care of you. It's not just that he knows you, but that he takes care of you. Look back at verse 7. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All right, he swaps metaphors for a second. Now, this is really problematic for, you know, people like me who say, just stick with one metaphor, please. So I can know what we're doing here. But he changes up on me. I'm the door of the sheep. Now, what does that mean? What does a door do? Well, obviously, it lets us pass through. But really, the door is to keep stuff out and to let those in go in and out, right? It's to keep out something. Jesus says, I'm the door to the sheep. People try to get in other ways. Those are predators. I protect you. All the things that are after you, I mean, think about a sheep. A good shepherd will harvest the wool from the sheep. A predator harvests the sheep. Your other shepherds, apart from Jesus, want to use you up till you're spent for their benefit, and then they will move on to someone else. Jesus protects you. And then he says, and I'll show you where to go. Look what he says in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Going out to pasture. All right, now we're back to sheep metaphor, okay? Where does a sheep want to be? Green pastures. Man, I feel safe. I've got food. I've got all that I want. This is my home. And who got me here? Jesus. I don't want you to think of this as timid, anxious sheep. I want you to think of abundant life. That's like fat sheep. That's a sheep who's like, man, this is the life. Jesus is saying, you're looking for nourishment, security. Jesus says, I'm that. I'm your security. I protect you. I lead you. I bring you to the place where sheep are healthy and happy. Now, I read a little bit about shepherds because my knowledge of shepherding is extraordinarily low. So I learned that shepherds will watch a sheep that is going astray go and let it go some. They don't just go up and try to keep it in. The dog does that, right? But the shepherd will sometimes just let a sheep go astray until it gets into a place where it realizes it's alone and in trouble. And then he will show up and say, I'm bringing you back. Now, they do it because they want that sheep to learn to trust the shepherd, to stay with them. Here's another thing they will do. Shepherds, when they're out in the pasture, will talk to the sheep. Now, that means you got to be just a tiny bit crazy to be a shepherd. You have to talk to the sheep. Now, why do you do that? You talk to them. You walk around. You call them by name. You identify them. But every time they hear your voice. Now, here's what those New Testament era shepherds would do. They'd be out in the pasture. They'd come into the city. They'd go to the sheep pen, one big pen for all the sheep. Not just this one shepherd, but all the shepherds, right? They'd all gather in to this big pen. And how do you separate your sheep out? Well, I brought in 100. I'll leave 100. Who cares whether they're the same 100, right? No, what they would do is they would come, and sheep, which are naturally a little skittish, would hear the voice of this person they didn't know, and they'd run away, except for the ones who'd heard the voice, had been listening to it. They come close. And all of a sudden, just by talking, just by his words, he drops away somebody else's sheep and he collects his own. Jesus says, if you respond to me, if you're drawn to me by my words, you're my sheep. The sheep follow him and learn to trust him. And they need to learn to trust him so much because some days, we'll be in the metaphor here, right? Some days he's leading the sheep in bright sunlight on a beautiful green hill full of lush pastures. And sometimes, to borrow from the metaphor in another place, he will lead them in the shadow, in the valley, in the shadow of death. And he's saying, you've got to learn, sheep, to trust me when that's the path to the green pasture. Know you. I won't leave you. I won't abandon you. I know you. I knew what I was getting into. You're my sheep. And I will take you to the place where there is real life. All your other shepherds are looking to use you and consume you and then spit you out. And then he says, I'm going to protect you. Now here is where the metaphor starts to lose something for me. If I own sheep and the wolf comes and it's either me or the sheep, sorry, sheep. Sheep just aren't worth the life of the shepherd, the person, right? But Jesus says, here's the thing. I love my sheep. I'll lay down my life for them. You are not just sheep to Jesus. You are treasured. You are valued. You with your, remember, he knows you. You bring your best days, your wonderful talents. You bring your sins and your guilt and your shame and those deep places that no one else knows. You bring it all to him. And he says, you're not just a sheep to me. I lay down my life for you. I will protect you not only from a wolf or a coyote. I'll protect you death and from the grave and from spiritual enemies. I will put myself in the way even for what is just. You know, I don't know, what do you do with a bad sheep? You ever have a bad, I don't know what a bad sheep would be. I figure they're all pretty goofy. But you and I have demerited God's favor. We have been rebels. And he says, what's coming for you is the just, righteous displeasure of God. And I will stand in between you for that too. I will put my life on the line. Here is Jesus saying, you are more to me than a sheep. You ever have some doubts? Is God really for me? Can he really love me? Does he know what I'm getting into? Does he know what I've done? Does he know what I'm still doing? Can he still love me? If I look around and I see how my life's going and it's not always that beautiful and it definitely doesn't work out all the time, is it not God's displeasure and disfavor? If you are in Christ, hear your shepherd say, I laid down my life for you. Bring your doubts there. Bring your worst concerns to this foot of a cross where you can see by faith Jesus saying, you're not just a sheep to me. You are treasured and beloved. All the other shepherds, the desire to be well-liked, the desire to be successful, the desire to be wealthy, all of your other shepherds will want you to die for them. Give me your life. Protect whatever comes to threaten this. You had better work hard and maintain this and keep it. And if you do not, we'll move on. Jesus says, I'll die for you. I will protect you. I am the good shepherd. And that has a way of changing things for us. It changes the way we think about everything. Because now I'm following a shepherd into every circumstance of my life and into every relationship. And I'm even able to bring those dark places out and say, all right, Jesus, can you handle this? And I hear his voice say, I died for you for that. Be free, my treasured possession. There's a great scene in the story of Les Miserables. The scene is of Jean Valjean, who is a parolee. He had committed a small crime, relatively insignificant, but he was punished incredibly harshly. If you know the story, you're like, I love this, keep talking. If you don't know it, I'm trying to fill you in. So he's a parolee in revolutionary era France, and he's not, you just don't get well accepted. You've got to prove that you were freed, and you've got to show your papers, and people know they can take advantage of you. It's a terrible situation. And it feels like he was especially harshly treated. The world owes him something. And so he's determined to just take it. He finds himself receiving a little hospitality from a bishop. But while he's there in the bishop's house, he looks and he sees this silver. And he thinks, if I take it, at least I can afford something in my life. And so in the midst of this man's hospitality, he steals the treasure and tries to run away, but he's caught. And the authorities bring him back, and he's lied to them. He said, no, he gave them to me. And the bishop says, I did give them to him. And you left in such a hurry that I said, here was some more you could have. You just forgot them. So, you know, he lets the authorities go. And he looks at Valjean, this man who is entitled, who's grasping for everything. And he says, listen, I forgive you. Go live in that. And he's a different person. He becomes one who serves, who cares for me. Now Valjean's story. If you haven't seen the show or read the story, then he's the centerpiece. But don't miss the bishop. The bishop gave up his wealth to rescue a man. Why would he do that? Because the bishop knew a good shepherd who would give up everything for him. If that gets in you, look out. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus. And Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and showing us the depths of your love. For somebody we can imagine might love a righteous person, but you loved us when we were sinners. You gave yourself for us because of our sin. You have rescued, redeemed us, and shattered an unending love. And it's not a shallow, fragile love that may get discovered when you find out something about us, but a trusted, sturdy, robust love that can handle the realities of our hearts. And so, Lord Jesus, would you persuade us of the privileged place your children have, deeply loved, deeply treasured, deeply known, and brought to real life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.